Hi, everybody. Thank you for listening to the People Series. We are a platform that explores tech innovation, entertainment, and disruptive media in and around Los Angeles, exploring individuals, subjects, cultural musings, et cetera, et cetera. I'm your host, Georgie Speakman, and today we have the pleasure of speaking with the very handsome Maurice Slade. Listen to that voice.
Something like that.
Being humble already. Who's not only my colleague at Roc Nation, but the founder and creator of...
Co-founder.
Oh, come on, take all the credit, babe.
No, I can't do that. I can't do that.
We're already getting into trouble. Co-founder of Grits and Biscuits, a premier entertainment concept, which is super dope, and I'm a huge fan, babe.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Appreciate
so, how are you? Happy Monday. Has it been a manic or a magic Monday?
It's cool. I kind of woke up with like a little bit of allergies, but I'm cool.
Oh my God.
It's
killing me.
I'm a little droggy to change the weather in LA. Anything below like 70 degrees, it's a little depressing in LA.
You think? I'm actually enjoying the gloominess. It makes me get a little bit more creative, I reckon. It's like, nah. Cool. So you've just returned from some travel and been busy on the Grits and Biscuits circuit. For those who are less familiar with you, can you tell us a little bit more about who you are, where you hail from, and kind of a day in the life of or week of Maurice?
Yeah. So I'm from Houston, Texas. Well, actually, it's a suburb of Houston, Texas. It's called Missouri City. We call it Mo City, where I'm from. Grew up there, went to school in Florida, Florida A&M. Then after that, moved to New York, trying to figure out my way in New York, wanting to work in the music business, slept on my brother's couch for a year, trying to figure it out. Ended up finding my way into Complex Magazine and then Universal Records and then now Roc Nation. In between that, we ended up starting a party called Grits and Biscuits with my brother and a friend of ours named Erica.
And what are you doing now at Roc, and how long have you been in L.A.?
I've been in L.A. for about a year and a half. No, two and a half years.
My goodness, babe. Been longer than you.
So 2.5 years before that, I was in New York for 6 years. I want to say three of those 6 years, I was working for Roc Nation. And now at Roc Nation, I handle digital marketing for most of the rappers on the label and the management side. So anyone from J. Cole, Big Sean, Meek Mill, one of the newer guys that we have, Belly, I work with all those guys.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Tell me, there's this whole debate between LA and New York. I'm sure, you know, you still got a little love for New York City, of course, but how have you found the move, and what would you say is the main sort of comparison between cities?
So I have this theory. I would say like New York, especially for me, coming from the South, where there's, you know, the entertainment industry just really doesn't exist. It was easier for me to get my foot in the door in New York. So I would say anyone who's like trying to get in the business in their 20s or when they're young, I would say New York is definitely the move, because it's one of those places where you want to be young, out every night, meeting people. You can bounce from place to place. You could go hit 5 spots in one night. It's not as closed door as Los Angeles. I feel like in New York, people value, you know, good ideas, things outside of like tangible or aesthetically pleasing things like good ideas, being funny, being cool, versus like, who do you know, what do you look like, and what I can get out of you. So it was easy for me to get my foot in the door in New York. And after I got my foot in the door in New York, I was kind of like, man, do I really want roommates still? Like, I'm about to be 30. Like, do I want roommates? Do I want to see trash and rat? I didn't. So I moved to L.A. Jay Brown moved me out to L.A. and it kind of changed my life. But New York, I would say, like, that was the catalyst from me being just some college kid from the South to, like, really getting involved in like different cultures that I've never experienced before or would never had the chance to experience before. Cause New York is just a melting pot full of like
absolutely
music, art, fashion. Like I knew I liked to dress fresh, but I didn't know anything about fashion. Like, and you know, there's like little cool fashion girls that would that you would meet from FIT or whatever, and they would be like, this and that, and this, you know. So it was like a catalyst for just growth and like knowledge and things like that.
Yeah.
And then LA is just more me taking all of that knowledge that I learned from New York, applying it to LA, and a catalyst for actually like launching like a real, real career, and like not monetizing off of it, but like more like, I guess it is monetizing off of it, like being able to take that knowledge and really apply it to your life
yeah.
as a grown up. Yeah.
And a lot cruisier lifestyle, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like more outdoor fun. Like, yeah, like I surf now. Like,
hey, dude.
Yeah,
that's
like
me.
6'6" black guy who surfs from Texas. You know what I'm saying?
So, I love that.
Yeah,
progress.
A little change of lifestyle. Yeah.
I just watched the movie The Shallows, actually. It was pretty
oh,
scary.
Really?
You got to get that into you. Just actually, I don't know if the sharks even exist out here. I'm not sure. They're everywhere in Australia, but.
No, I don't think they're written out anywhere. In Texas, they are, though.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. Texas,
okay.
Florida.
Got it. So speaking of monetizing the career and really taking the career to the next level, why, when, and where did you get Grits and Biscuits, like, first off the ground? Tell us all about the party and sort of about that journey so far.
Yeah. So it was like, I feel like good ideas never happen in isolation. Like they kind of, it's like it's in the zeitgeist, like it's in the atmosphere, and then people piece together the ideas together. So it was, there were a couple things that were happening at the same time. There was in New York City, there was a lot of clubs, like the club lifestyle was just so heavy. Like it was like you either went to a friend's house party or you went to a club. There was nothing in between.
Right.
And me and my brother, we would talk about it, and my brother would talk about it to our friend Erica. And then at the same time, me and my buddies started throwing this crawfish boil every summer, which is like a southern like barbecue almost, but you
nice.
Mean crawfish.
Beautiful.
It's cool. All right. So at that time, my brother and Erica were talking about, we should throw a party for our friends that's just like us and whatever. And I was like, oh, that sounds cool. And then me and my friends were throwing this crawfish boil. My brother came to the crawfish boil and he was like, oh, we should do a southern style joint.
Nice.
And
I
was,
yeah.
Well, actually, I think they might have been, yeah, they were talking about doing, my brother and Erica were talking about doing a southern style joint. And they were talking about having me DJ, and I was nervous to DJ. And then they saw me DJ at the crawfish boil, and they were like, yo, we got to have him as a DJ.
Yes, babe.
Yeah, so we all came together and created the party, and it was just for our friends, and that's all we wanted to do, and it ended up being successful, which was cool.
Why grits and biscuits? I mean, clearly that's a term from the South. I was hoping I didn't F up and go bits and griscuits. And I was like, would that classify as the same thing?
People call it all types of
bits
stuff,
and
like shrimp and grits.
Right.
Yeah, they mess it
as
up.
Long as it's got grits in it, right?
Yeah.
Or a bit of biscuit of some nature.
I think my brother actually came up with that name. And it's just, like, when you hear it, it just sounds like Southern home-style food. Like, it kind of gives you the feel. It's kind of like the entryway into the party. Like, most of the people who, especially when we first started, they were like, so is there going to be food at the party? And we're like, nah. No food. That would be messy.
Like, where's the food?
Like, twerking and grits and
shit.
Biscuits. That
grits splashing everywhere.
Like, nah. So, yeah, my brother came up with it, and we just stuck with it. We thought it was cool. Yeah.
Beautiful. So Grits and Biscuits has been described as a premier entertainment concept that celebrates the Southern experience through urban music, cultural connections and nightlife moves in a down-home environment, which I love. So how does that really, what does that really mean? How does that translate to the actual experience of the party?
Yeah, so when we first started throwing the party, the idea was just to throw a party that we would want to go to, just us and our friends, what they would enjoy. And what we enjoyed was we liked the club just because it was like organized and it was like an actual thing to go to. And then, but we also liked the feel of like a house party. More than we liked that we actually like, we would enjoy the party aspect of a house party more than we would the party aspect of a club.
For sure.
So we tried to mix those things together, and what we were all from the South, so what we knew was Southern music, and we all went to historically Black colleges in the South, so there's a certain aesthetic that comes along with that music too. So that's how it began. It was trying to find something in between the club and house party, something with Southern music, and something that was also no VIP. No VIP, no dress code. Just come how you are. Just come and chill, grab a drink, dance. No one's judging you. You could twerk. And a lot of the people that
I tried.
I saw you twerking in the corner, George. I looked back.
Behind the curtain.
Oh, God. I didn't know she had it in her. Australia is the dirty south too, right?
Well, listen, in my country, I am from down under and the dirty south, actually. But yeah, we don't twerk down under, just here.
So that was kind of what we wanted, because that's the type of stuff that we like to go to. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. I think I mentioned to you, like, I lived in South Carolina for 6 months when I was 16 and had a blast just cruising around with college kids then, going to all these amazing parties. Yeah. And Grits and Biscuits actually reminded me of a similar kind of, like, setup, but more, it was more backyard then, because this is like, I don't know, not to show my age, but a while ago, I won't even give the year. So, you've just done the LA party, which obviously you had the pleasure of attending and witnessing. It was sold out, right?
Yeah.
The whole party was pretty fucking lit. Yes. Including you on the decks.
Yes.
Me on the dance floor.
Yes.
Kidding. But so what is it really about the parties that makes them so successful? Like, you've got a beautiful story that's all awesome, and I can see why it attracts a large crowd across the country. But what is it, do you think, that are the successful elements to it all?
I think literally, like, everything starts at the nucleus. So it's the vibe that we have in our group. It's kind of like it's very, like, you can actually see it because it attracts. Because one thing that we were worried about is, like, if we got bigger, like, what type of people are going to start coming? Are they going to be, like, the people that are our friends? Or is it going to get spiral out of control and it's going to be, like, a bunch of these people that we really don't like or fuck with or don't have the same aesthetic? But the tighter we are, the tighter the brand is, you could see that come out. It's like almost like an expression of what we are, you know. So I would say the thing that makes the party cool is because we have the right mind frame in mind. Like, we don't, like, we make money from this, obviously, but that's not the prime idea. Like, even like certain parties that we throw, like, just to give you an example, like the one that we just had at the Palladium, we didn't make any money from the door or from this party. And the reason why is because we wanted to make sure everything was secure. There were issues with security last time, and we were going to make sure that that wasn't the case this time. We just made sure that security was handled to the max. Like, we overpaid for it. We made sure everything was taken care of. We made sure the entryways were secure. We had more than one entry. So we, you know, we just want to make sure people come and have a good time. And that is at the core of what we do, and every decision that we make, that is like, do you think people are really gonna have fun, or are we just doing this to make money? Like, that's why we don't have sponsors, really. We don't have, we don't go to certain cities. Like, it's like, because there's a specific curated vibe that we want every time we throw it. And that's another thing, too. With every city we go to, people can expect the same type of feel. Like, they get this same feeling no matter what.
Yeah, for me, as you said, it's like a down-home environment. It's super authentic and everyone's like super free, hair down, like the best time, but it's super organized. So you got all that stuff down pat, which is obviously, as you were saying, critical, especially as you've had whether it was security, whatever issues in the past, blah, blah, blah. But it was super tight, LA, and security was intense. I think I got pat
like
down
the,
a few times.
Yeah, it looked like the airport. Like, we were like, this, we want to make sure it's TSA, like, airport
standard
type of.
I don't know if I was about to say something we shouldn't, but anyway, so, like, yeah, you tour the party, like, to Washington, New York City, obviously. It's obviously happens here in LA, Chicago, Detroit, Atlanta, and other cities around the country. So you pretty much got all the major US cities covered. Which city draws the biggest crowd, and why, do you think?
The biggest crowd would be New York. I would say New York and LA are the two biggest crowds. I think the number one reason, for sure, I know this for sure why it is. Those are the two most club heavy cities. I feel like, well, maybe like Miami and Vegas, but we've never been to Miami and Vegas, so we haven't tried. But out of the cities that we've been to, those are the two biggest club heavy cities. So when people are like, "Oh my God, we get to go to Grits and Biscuits," it's like, so we come in and supply them the antithesis of what they're used to. So it really is an experience for them. It's like it's literally something that they don't see or get to feel that often.
Yeah. You made some mention of Chicago just before.
Chicago is the craziest.
Tell me.
It is nuts.
Why?
So there's certain cities that not only are there a bunch of people in the spot, but there's a bunch of people who know the music. There's a bunch of people, like in L.A. and New York, they know the music, but they only know it to a certain extent. They probably know, like, all of the Southern songs that are on the radio. Mm-hmm. But in Chicago, they know all the songs that are on the radio. They know all the songs that were on mixtapes. They know the B-sides of Young Jeezy's first mixtape, track number 3.
Yeah.
They know the intro, like, all of that type of stuff. So is that, and because there's a bunch of people, and because they come wanting it so bad, like literally as soon as people get in there, they're like twerking, like the first group of girls that are in, like, walk in are on the floor twerking, like
boom, their rear ends are shuddering,
right?
That's 10 amazing.
10 p.m. Yeah,
I love that. Yeah, well, I'm actually yet to visit Chicago. I've got a bunch of mates from there. Some of my favorite American friends. I'm definitely gonna visit around that time.
Get some deep dish pizza, all of that. It's fun.
Love Chicago. Amazing. So how would you say the sound is of the South is really different to the East or West Coast, in your opinion? And like, what vibe do you feel that the Southern sound can really bring that other parts of the country or coasts can't?
Just so people don't get it twisted, I love East Coast music. That was probably before I even liked Southern music. When I first got introduced to hip hop, let me put it this way, it was off of East Coast music.
Yeah.
It was because my brother used to listen to like Tribe, Lords of the Underground, Nas, all of those guys, Jay-Z, like all of those. So he introduced me to hip hop that way. And then I kind of deviated because all of my friends, we would listen to like Outkast and all that stuff. I would say the difference between the two is that I would say out of all the coast or the different genres of hip hop, Southern music is more the party. Like it's a party style music. Like every song that comes out is more party style than any other.
Reason to get down.
And it's, and the energy is just so raw. I feel like it's way more raw than any other like coast or whatever. And the lingo, everything. Like it's way more just for a party than East Coast music.
Yeah, you guys are definitely able to like pump out like dope track after dope track. Yeah. It seems so like seamless. It was very good. So on that subject, how do you curate the music and keep it fresh for each party? Combining like the old and new South sounds, and then like how would you differ the music curation per city as well?
So for certain cities know certain songs, and one thing that was good for me when I went to college is that I was one of those kids in school that would hang out with each group of people. Like there was like a Chicago crew, there was a DC crew, there was a Florida crew, there was a Texas crew, and I would hang out with everybody. And I would know
Aussie crew.
No Aussie crew. I had an Aussie crew in New York, though.
Yeah, cool. I can imagine.
Cool as that. So I would pick up certain things from these different crews, and I would, like, not study them, but, like, I would have an understanding of what style of music they would listen to. And it's funny, I didn't know that I was just information I was absorbing. And then when we started doing Grits and Biscuits and traveling to different cities, all of that information would like regurgitate. Like I would almost like throw it up and I'd be like, oh,
shit.
Yeah,
it's like in the blood, it's in the veins.
Yeah, like while I'm DJing, I'm like, oh, shit, I bet you if I play this shit from my homeboy was in college, he used to go crazy for this.
Love
and that's kind of how it is. And especially, so in each city, we'll do like maybe like a 30-minute set, like an homage to like your city pretty much. And I'll take all the classic hits from your city and just play them for like 30 minutes, all nostalgic, like stuff from like 90s or early 2000s, and just play them.
Yeah,
so people love it. And there's like, I would say how I mix it up is just, I analyze the crowd. It's weird. I equate Grits and Biscuits is like a drum circle. Like if you can imagine like Indian tribe or an African tribe, like in a drum drum circle, that's, I really actually feel it. And I like
the energy,
I
feel you're absorbing like, the energy from the crowd for
and
sure.
And I feel like I'm the guy on the drums or the bongos.
That's so
and,
dope.
And
love
I'm
that.
Like watching the way that someone is acting towards, you know, one style of way that I'm playing. And then if they're, they slow down, I'd be like, nah, you can't slow down. I'm about to speed you up. You know? So that person is like exhausted by the end of the night. So it's me just like really reading the crowd. And I know certain tones or certain styles of or certain speeds of music and what they'll do to a person. So
yeah, for sure.
I use that to,
to
change the crowd.
The set that you guys had down packed in LA certainly worked, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if I really saw anyone like stop moving the whole time I was there. Right. You also threw in the mannequin challenge as well.
Yeah.
Was that kind of planned or you just it was
so nothing is planned. The sets aren't planned and like there are certain songs we'll play, but we don't know when we're gonna play them. We don't know. Like that's one thing that kind of bothers me now with DJs is that I don't want to sound like that old grumpy man, but like they literally, I have friends who are like EDM DJs or whatever, and they literally their sets are like timed,
controlled
timed. Like there's no improv, no nothing. Like everything that we do is pretty much improv. And I'll tap my brother and be like, "Yo, you think I should play this?" He'd be like, "Nah, not right now. Wait 30 minutes." Or he'll be like, "Yo, you should play this." I'd be like, "Oh, I should play this right now. This would be crazy." Like so, it's all us bouncing it back and forth. Which is dope.
Yeah. It works. So how long did it take Grits and Biscuits to become like so successful? And why do you think like this mini cult following has continued to rise to the occasion nationally?
Yeah. So actually I would say it was successful from day one because when we threw it, only thing we wanted to do was break even. And then I remember after the party, Erica was, you know, handling everything. It was just our other partner. She was handling everything. She was telling us how much we made, and I almost fainted. I've never made that amount of money at that time. Like, I never made it. I was like, what? I couldn't believe it. I knew we sold, like, because the first one, we sold out. We never not sold out.
Yeah,
which is incredible. Yeah.
Kudos to you. And so then, like, in terms of other talent, like rappers, singers, who have you historically brought in that, would you say has made any particular night in any particular city like particularly memorable? Can I say particularly one more time?
Yeah. We've never brought any, but people have come.
Got it.
Like, so J. Cole has shown up, which is, he's a good friend of mine. He's super cool. And it's his style of party because he doesn't like going out clubbing. And he's very like low key. So that's like perfect for him. Wale's been the one, Travis Scott, a few others that I don't want to name because I work with
them. Yeah, it's all good.
So, and I don't know if they want business out there like that. So, yeah, but yeah, a few artists, and it's more off of like just relationships. It's not like, it's just me like hitting them, yo, you should come. And if they want to come, they come. And if they don't, they won't. But
what's their feedback been?
They love it. They love it. And it's cool because we treat them just like anyone else. Because like some of them, they'll be like, yo, can you set us up with a table and some, you know, a bottle or two? And I'll be like, man, I love you, man, but we can't.
No such thing.
That's it. We treat everyone the same. But I was like, yo, you can stand on stage. We have a bottle for you. And you can just switch hands and shit. Like we had a house party. That's how we do it. That's how we rock. And then when they end up leaving it, they get it and they understand it and they respect it even more. They're like, they like that. They can be treated that way, like a regular person, versus like
absolutely
having to be sectioned off and all of that stuff. Because that's the cool thing about the party too. Everyone that's in there is someone. Like they're like very pretty well off. They're either like a doctor or a lawyer. They're not a celebrity, but they're either like a doctor or a lawyer, dentist, or like someone who's doing something pretty positive with their life, or like a teacher or professor or something. So I think that attributes to that contributes to the positive atmosphere too in the building is that it's a bunch of positive like-minded people who just want to twerk, man, and get the week off of them. You know, that Monday through Friday they want to get it off of them. So,
dude, I couldn't wait for the party. I had our assistant telling me about it, and I was like, "Are you effing kidding me? That sounds like a goddamn dream."
Right. And it's no one watching each other. Like it's not. It's because I remember. Like especially in LA, man, it's like people like watching you, and then they'll report back and be like, I saw so-and-so doing this.
Yeah, it's like, get off me.
Yeah, it's none of that.
Yeah. So culture, this is what we're all about. How would you say Grits and Biscuits has played a role in culture and I guess helped in moving the needle on culture?
So this is the thing that I'm most proud of, and people ask me this all the time because we were literally the first to create that void. I would say the do-over, they were probably the first that I would see. The do-over, and then it was us to, like, create a void between a club and a house party. It was like an official big house party. That's what we throw. And, man, especially me being that kid who was, like, broke on my brother's couch for a year who couldn't go to the club, or if I went to the club, I couldn't buy a drink, or if I, like, all of that shit. You have to worry about wearing a certain outfit to get in the club and all that.
Yeah.
Like, to be able, there's a bunch of spinoffs or people who throw parties that are similar to ours. And people ask me, be like, yo, what do you think about this party or that party? Like, they're trying to copy you guys. And I'd be like, man, that's dope. Because now kids have options to go places and not have to worry or be stressed out about what they're wearing or, like, all of that type of stuff. They could just go and have fun. And it's cool, and they could just enjoy themselves with their friends. So I think we created a culture of no VIP party. Just go out and have fun with your friends in a big setting. Like, usually if you're in a big setting like that, a club, like, it's like some type of pretentiousness or something weird to be able to get in. And I think, like, another thing, too, is, like, people don't understand how this moves, like, another thing that I'm proud of is when I see big girls in the crowd. That's what people don't understand. Like, because I used to have homegirls that would come into town. I lived in New York by the time that I was settled in New York, and I could go to clubs and be fine getting in and all that. Like, I would have friends, homegirls that would come into town. They'd be large girls or whatever, and the door guy would be tripping, and I'd have to do this whole thing about getting them in the club.
Yeah,
and
that's, yeah,
like, some bullshit, to be honest.
Of course.
So, as weird as it sounds, when big girls come to Grits and Biscuits, it's kind of intense. Like, it's
right, like, it's small booty in the audience,
crazy.
Right?
Because it's like their time to have a good time and not have to worry about, like, shit at the door. So I think it's that. And I think I think we played a part in Southern music being played more or accepted more, or being bigger than what it was in the
crowd around, right?
Yeah, they would never play Southern. They would play some, unless it was like top 40 or something like that, but like new Southern music and all that, they would never play that shit in New York. Like, never. And now only thing you hear in the club is just Southern music. I'm not saying we were the only reason why that happened, but I think we were a huge catalyst, especially like the way the music is played too. I've listened to DJs and I've been like, oh, that sounds familiar. But I think it's great and beautiful.
For sure. Yeah. And so what does the future hold for Grits and Biscuits? Where to from here? And in terms of sustaining the crowd, or just, is it just, I mean, for me, I feel like I look at you and being a part of that experience, and this is like an extension of you, and you're there for a good time. So I guess you just keep rocking and rolling, right?
There's definitely some growth opportunities for us, and for, like, because I think we can, there's a group of people that like the brand or follow the brand, and we can kind of steer them in direct, like, we have the influence to steer them in directions that they necessarily wouldn't go. And I think one thing that we haven't really tapped into is using that influence for, like, bigger, more positive, like, reasons. Like, it sounds, I mean, it's not, like, the coolest thing to say or whatever, but, like, we're even thinking about, like, steering people towards, like, health and wellness. Because there's a lot of people that come to our party, especially, like, people in the Midwest or the South that aren't necessarily taking care of themselves, like, the way they should. But if they found some type of avenue to introduce them into that lifestyle, then maybe they would. So we've been bouncing around ideas of, like, Grits and Biscuits Soul Cycle class, or, like, stuff that will just steer people into just a better lifestyle. So there's that, and then there's, I think there's a huge space for kind of like a festival-style event, like, that celebrates Southern music, Southern culture, like Southern arts, all of that type of stuff.
I love it, babe. It's like a consciousness expansion using Grits and Biscuits as a platform to kind of see different messaging and create different experiences that.
For sure.
Yeah.
So we're thinking about that type of stuff too. And then like more cities, there's a bunch of cities that we haven't been to that we want to go to. We want to take it overseas. Well, we are taking it overseas.
I was going to ask which countries overseas would you hit first?
So for sure we're hitting London in August. That's happening. And while we're there, we're going to try to do London, Amsterdam and Paris. So
amazing.
We're going to try to do those three. But for sure, London is happening.
Let me know if I can help you get to Australia.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Not mad at that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We'll talk offline about that. But listen, it's been super amazing chatting to you and hearing more about the story. I don't know if you saw, but I actually posted a piece on the People series called No More Parties in LA,
which I
mentioned you because it was actually in the vein of that whole philosophy of creating just, you know, more high touch curated experiences that neutralize the audience. It's not having the, you know, the bottle popping service and separating people. It's like, it's all about bringing communities and people together. So I'll send that to you, but great timing. I'm a huge fan, supporter. And how can people stay in touch with you? What are the social handles and websites and stuff so people can attend the next parties?
For Grits and Biscuits, it's gritsandbiscuits.com. And then at Grits and Biscuits on Instagram. For me, it's Square Biz on Instagram.
That's B-I-Z.
Yeah, Square B-I-Z, all one word. And that's pretty much it. All the other stuff I don't really use.
Cool.
If you find me on the other stuff, you're going to find some like weird quotes of me saying weird stuff on Twitter. So don't take a look at that.
Okay, Twitter's banned. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you,
ma'am. That was awesome.